From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with news. First, the headlines. The UN urges Indonesia to provide draft law on indigenous peoples and the elimination of sexual violence. The Indonesian government invites the United Nations representatives to visit Papua. Indonesia and Iran have huge bilateral potential of cooperation. And now the news in detail. The UN, through the United Nations High Commission on Human Rights, called on Indonesian government to immediately adopt the draft law on indigenous peoples and the elimination of sexual violence. The two drafts are considered important to be immediately ratified so that the rights of indigenous people and victims of sexual violence or gender violence can be protected. This was stated by the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zayed Ra'ad Al Hussein, in a press conference held at the UN Representative Office in Jakarta on Wednesday, February the 7th.
There are two important pieces of draft legislation that have been introduced to Parliament that recognize and protect the rights of Indigenous people and provide essential protection for victims of sexual and gender-based violence. I urge Parliament to pass these important bills.
In addition, Za'ad Ra'ad Al Hussein also urged the Indonesian government to refuse the demands of amendments to the law, especially the criminal code, which has the potential to encourage discrimination among Indonesians, especially the poor and marginalized. According to Za'ad Ra'ad Al Hussein, if the amendment is done, the Indonesian government's efforts to achieve Sustainable Development Goals SDGs will be more difficult. The Indonesian government invited the United Nations High Commission on Human Rights to visit Papua to see the condition, especially the implementation of human rights in the easternmost region of Indonesia. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zayed Ra'ad Al Hussein, in his press conference at the United Nations Representative Office, Jakarta, on Wednesday, said that the invitation was delivered during his meeting with some senior Indonesian officials recently in Jakarta.
I also hope my visit will set the stage for strengthened cooperation between my office and the government and people of Indonesia. In the course of our discussions over the past 2 days, the government of Indonesia invited us to visit Papua, and we will send a mission soon. And I thank the government for its invitation.
Zayed Ra'ad Al Hussein, moreover, said that he cannot provide further information related to the sending of missions to Papua. The visit of United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zayed Ra'ad Al Hussein, to Indonesia is part of his visit to several countries in the Asia and the Pacific regions. During his 2-day visit to Indonesia from February 5th to 7th, 2018, Zayed Ra'ad Al Hussein held a meeting with high-ranking Indonesian officials, including Indonesian President Joko Widodo, National Human Rights Commission, Komnas HAM, National Commission on Violence Against Women, non-governmental organization NGOs, and religious leaders to discuss human rights issues in Indonesia. In addition, Zaid Ra'ad Al Hussein was a speaker at the Jakarta International Conversation on Human Rights held by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in commemoration of the 70th anniversary of the Universal Declaration on Human Rights and 25 years of Vienna Declaration and Program of Action VDPA on Monday. Indonesia and Iran have a long history of bilateral cooperation that must be continuously maintained. The bilateral cooperation is running well until nowadays. It was stated by Ambassador of Iran to Indonesia, Valiola Mohammadi, in a special interview with the Voice of Indonesia at Iranian Embassy in Jakarta on Tuesday, February the 6th. He said the two countries keep on exploring the beneficial potential cooperation both intergovernment and private sectors.
The potential in two countries is huge. We must work more for use this opportunity in benefit of the nation of two countries. For example, about the scientific activity, we have a lot of area for cooperation. I only example nanotechnology. We have another knowledge. You have a lot of knowledge that we can use it. I can tell you the economic of Iran and Indonesian economic, we complete each other.
Moreover, Ambassador Valiola Mohammadi also explained that Indonesia and Iran have mutually export and import goods. He hoped the two countries will boost their further cooperation in many sectors such as tourism, education, and technology. The Indonesian government has tried to provide national banks with easy chance to expand their businesses in other ASEAN member states by encouraging the ratification of the sixth protocol of ASEAN Framework Agreement on Services, or AFAS. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati stated at a working meeting with the House of Representatives DPR Commission 11 in Jakarta on Tuesday that the government has tried step by step to enable bankers to get the same banking access as those in Singapore and Malaysia. The working meeting discussed the House Commission 11's approval of a bill on protocol to implement the sixth commitment package in the financial service sector. Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati stated that the ratification of the sixth protocol of AFAS will open a chance for the national banking industry to improve its competitive edge at a regional level and realize commitment in the ASEAN economic community. In addition, the ratification will also encourage trade and investment, particularly in the financial field in ASEAN, which has been hampered by various local regulations. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia's economy may grow up to 6.5% year-on-year by 2022. The International Monetary Fund IMF projects, provided there is structural reform that increases productivity and attract investments. Antara News Agency reported, IMF said in its 2017 Article 4 consultation for Indonesia revealed in a meeting of its directors on Wednesday that fiscal and structural reforms show a potential of a 6.5% growth in the medium run. The IMF praises Indonesia's economy and welcomes the focus to combine short-term policies between authorities in a bid to promote growth while also maintaining stability. The IMF Board of Directors concludes that Indonesia has a positive economic outlook, but the country still needs to remain alert to risk. But Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo is happy with IMF's assessment. He said that it is in line with the central bank's overview that Indonesia's economy is improving, as indicated by 2017's low inflation of 3.61% year-on-year, an economic growth of 5.07%, and stable currency exchange rate. The central bank sees that there are opportunities to create stronger and sustainable domestic economic growth through the reinforcement of structural reforms. And the last item, Indonesian state-owned PT Dirgantara Indonesia PTDI has secured a partnership with aircraft manufacturer Airbus. The two companies will sign a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, during the 2018 Singapore Air Show. PT Dirgantara Indonesian President Director Alvin Guntoro said that the company will establish two types of partnership with Airbus. He did not elaborate the details of said cooperation. He said in Singapore Tuesday that the company will sign 8 agreements. In the biannual Singapore Air Show held at the Changi Exhibition Center from February 6 to 11, Dirgantara Indonesia and Garuda Indonesia participated. Three Indonesian ministers attended the event's opening ceremony, namely Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi, Defense Minister Ria Mizar Ryakudu, and the Coordinating Minister for Political, Law and Securities Affairs Wiranto. In addition to Airbus, PT Dirgantara Indonesia also booked orders to make N219 planes from several companies as well as regional governments. From the deals, PT Dirgantara Indonesia will produce at least 20 aircraft. And listener to end the news, here are the headlines once again. The UN urges Indonesia to provide draft on indigenous peoples and the elimination of sexual violence. The Indonesian government invites the United Nations representative to visit Papua. Indonesia and Iran have huge bilateral potential of cooperation. And that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today, entitled United States and Italy Expand Arms Industry Market in Asia. The Asia-Pacific region is increasingly a concern for the United States to expand its arms marketing network. Similar attention is also made by Western European countries that produce weapons, including Italy. For that purpose, Washington seems to apply two approaches, namely diplomatic and trade. Efforts to expand the U.S. arms market are visible from the U.S. arms manufacturer's plan to participate in an international arms exhibition which will be held in Singapore. The reason why Washington is expanding the marketing of weapons production in Asia-Pacific, especially in Asia, can be seen from at least two things. First, there is the interest of some Asian countries in equipping themselves with more weaponry. The second is the expansion of China's influence in the Asia-Pacific region. Various security issues at home and in the region, at least, become the reason for some Asian countries to strengthen its defense, among other things, from the armament side. Singapore and the Philippines, for example, seems to increasingly feel the need to improve weaponry in connection with the continued strengthening of terrorism issues in Southeast Asia. In another perspective, Japan also feels an interest in strengthening its defense. This is related to the US plan to reduce its role in the Japanese defense. Japan itself feels quite concerned about North Korean maneuvers, which repeatedly conducted missile tests, sometimes seems to be heading toward Japan. Vietnam is also one of the countries in Asia that feels the need to improve security and defense, especially in the maritime area. The frequent occurrence of Chinese maneuvers in the disputed South China Sea, making Vietnam feel the need to strengthen its arsenal in the region. In terms of defense approaches, the United States also needs to keep pace with China's strategic and assertive measures, while Italy, one of the arms manufacturers in Western Europe, also sees the same opportunities as the United States, although the reason may be more business than politics. In such a perspective, it can be seen that both the United States and Western Europe feel the need to take strategic steps and approaches to expand their arms trade in the Asia-Pacific region. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past, as recorded in history. We start with an event which occurred on February 7, 1965. The United States conducted bombing to North Vietnam. After evacuating the last American family in Vietnam, the U.S. Air Forces began to launch the first air attack to North Vietnam. The goal of the United States and the government of South Vietnam was to destroy the supply network with weapons and fuel for the Communist Party of North Vietnam. The bombing marked the beginning of the Second Indochina War. In March 1965, thousands of U.S. Marines in South Vietnam fought against North Vietnam. Now we look at the next event, which occurred on February 7, 1986, Haiti Rebellion, on the rule of President Jean-Claude Duvalier, ended. Jean-Claude Duvalier was Haitian president from 1971 until his overthrow in 1986. Jean-Claude Duvalier replaced his father François Papadoc Duvalier as Haitian dictator since his death in 1971. Haitian Rebellion was an answer and protest for 3 months against political and economic oppression by authoritarian government of Jean-Claude Duvalier. Due to the people's rebellion, the Haitian dictator fled with his family and settled in France. He carried away billions of dollars from his embezzled funds from Haiti. We end today's segment of Today in History with an event which occurred on February 7, 1992, the signing of Maastricht Agreement. The Maastricht Treaty, or the European Union Agreement, was signed on February 7, 1992 by members of the European Community in Maastricht, the Netherlands. The draft of Maastricht Treaty was prepared at the Council of Europe meeting on December 9 to 10, 1991 in Maastricht. The Maastricht Treaty encouraged the formation of the Euro and created three pillars of the European Union, namely the European Community, Foreign Policy and Joint Security, as well as Justice and Home Affairs. Listener, that was Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila. Only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome to the regular My Indonesia. Today entitled Indonesia, the International Atomic Energy Agency, expanding their cooperation. The Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Yukiya Amano, currently visiting Indonesia. During his visit from February 5 to 7, he met with several Indonesia's high-ranking state officials. Yukiya Amano met with Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, A.M. Fahir, in Jakarta on Monday, February 5. After the meeting, Amano explained to reporters, "The IAEA is ready to help if Indonesia decided to build a nuclear power plant.
According to him, nuclear power is one of the most environmentally friendly electricity sources. However, Yukiya Amano asserted, the IAEA will not intervene and submit the decision completely to the Indonesian government. On the same day, the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Yukiya Amano, also met with Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir. They signed a practical arrangement that contains cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Agency in the field of education and the application of nuclear technology, one of them is in food sector. Minister Nasir said, the development of research should be able to provide benefits to the Indonesian people, especially in the field of food, health and drugs. After meeting with Minister Nasir, the IAEA Director General met with the Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Susi Pujastuti. Yukiya Amano discussed the follow-up cooperation of development plan of gamma irradiator for quarantine of marine and fishery products. Irradiator is a radiation-emitting devices with gamma transmitter, radio, nuclide resources that can be utilized for preservation of foodstuffs, fishery and marine products, herbal ingredients, medical equipment, and pharmaceutical ingredients. The use of radiation can prevent the use of preservatives that interfering the health. Yukiya Amano also visited the IAEA Collaborating Center, or IAEACC, for plant breeding located at the Isotope and Radiation Application Center of the National Nuclear Power Agency, Batan. Indonesia is appointed as IAEACC for food crop breeding, as it is considered capable of being a country as training purpose for countries in the Asia-Pacific and Africa, enhancing the capacity of nuclear technology. Indonesia is also appreciated by the IAEA due to its success in creating many superior varieties of rice crops, soybeans, green beans, peanuts, sorghum, and wheat. The plants have been planted in various regions in cooperation with local governments and farmer groups. Yukiya Amano also visited Merah Putih Irradiator Gamma and Radioisotope and Radiopharmaca Laboratories located at Serpong Science and Technology Research Center. Merah Putih Irradiator Gamma is the first irradiator built by Indonesia, with local content reaching about 84%, while radioisotope and radiopharmaceutical laboratory will be used to increase the production capacity of radioisotope for domestic and export purposes. Yukiya Amano's visit has important meaning because Indonesia has been appointed as chairman of the board of IAEA governors for September 2017 through September 2018 period. The Board of Governors is a very important position as it is crucial in making the IAEA policy for 1 year related to the human resources capacity building in nuclear science and technology for IAEA member countries. Listener, that was my Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. The United Nations, through the United Nations High Commission on Human Rights, urged the Indonesian government to immediately adopt the draft law on indigenous peoples and the elimination of sexual violence. The Indonesian government invited the United Nations High Commission on Human Rights to visit Papua to see the condition, especially the implementation of human rights in the easternmost region of Indonesia. Indonesia and Iran have a long history of bilateral cooperation that must be continuously maintained. It was stated by Ambassador of Iran to Indonesia, Faliullah Mohammadi, in a special interview with the Voice of Indonesia at Iranian Embassy in Jakarta on Tuesday. The Indonesian government has tried to provide national banks with easy chance to expand their businesses in other ASEAN member states by encouraging the ratification of the 6th Protocol of ASEAN Framework Agreement on Services, or AFAS. Indonesia's economy may grow up to 6.5% year-on-year by 2022. And the last item, Indonesian state-owned PT Dirgantara Indonesia has secured a partnership with aircraft manufacturer Airbus. And listener, that was News in Brief. Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to a tourism object in East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, the natural tourism object in East Java never runs out to be explored. There is always new destination which is popular. If there is new interesting tourism destination, tourists will visit and upload their pictures to social media. One of the newest tourism objects in East Java which has been recently discussed is Coban Kembar Watu Ondo, and it's also called Twin Coban. Listeners, the name of Coban Kembar Watu Ondo refers to stairs which are neatly arranged to the location. There are two waterfalls which face each other. Both waterfalls are beautiful. The water flows through Raden Suryo Forest Park, which makes the tourism objects more exotic. The waterfall at the right side is 15 meters high. Meanwhile, at the left side, it has 69 meters high. Listeners, along with the time, tourists for the present time one spot for selfie which can show the beauty of tourism destination. After taking pictures, they will upload and share their selfie to social media. Thus, Coban Kembar Watu Ondo provides the best spot for tourists for selfie with exotic background of the twin waterfalls. More interestingly, the place has shape of heart which is made from plants. If you are lucky, you can see beautiful rainbow and butterflies. Listeners, Coban Kembar Watu Ondo is located at Sendi Hamlet, Pacet Village, Pacet Sub-District, Mojokerto Regency, East Java Province. The access to this destination can be through by using personal or rental car. Tourists can go from Malang and Batu towards selected tourism object. Afterwards, the trip continues until Cangar tourism object. From there, you follow the signboard to Pacet to Mojokerto. If you see twin bridge at the right side, there is signboard to Coban Kembar Watu Ondo. Listeners, the entrance ticket to Coban Kembar Watu Ondo is quite cheap, only 2,500 rupiah per person, or 8,000 rupiah including parking fee. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Coban Kembar Watu Ondo in East Java Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is Memperkenalkan Hari, or in English, Introducing the Day. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Ministry of Indonesian Education and Culture. Listener, our topic for today is Memperkenalkan Hari, in English, Introducing the Day. Well, now is a conversation about Memperkenalkan Hari, or Introducing the Day. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Sinta and Tony. Sinta, apakah Anda akan pergi ke Candi Prambanan? In English, do you want to go to Prambanan Temple? Tony, ya, saya akan ke sana hari Senin. Ya, saya akan ke sana hari Senin. In English, yes, I do. I will go there on Monday. Sinta, hari Senin? Sekarang hari Senin. In English, on Monday? Today is Monday. Tony, oh, besok hari apa? In English, oh, what day is tomorrow? Sinta, besok hari Selasa. Besok hari Selasa. In English, tomorrow is Tuesday. Tony, oh, saya akan ke Candi Prambanan besok hari Selasa. Oh, saya akan ke Candi Prambanan besok hari Selasa. In English, oh, I will go to Prambanan Temple tomorrow on Tuesday. Sinta, Lusa. Lusa. In English, the day after tomorrow. Tony, Lusa berarti hari Rabu. Lusa berarti hari Rabu. In English, the day after tomorrow is Wednesday. Listener, as usual, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic of today's conversation. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Anda. In English, you. Pergi. In English, to go. Saya. In English, I. Kesana. In English, there. Tidak. In English, no. Hari ini. In English, today. Senin. In English, Monday. Besok. In English, tomorrow. Lusa. In English, the day after tomorrow. Material. There are so many people going to Yogyakarta to visit Prambanan Temple, the biggest Hindu temple in Indonesia. In the context of dialogue between Sinta and Tony, Sinta wants to know whether Tony will go to Prambanan or not. Therefore, Sinta asks Tony, do you want to go to Prambanan Temple? So, if you want to ask about someone's plan to go to some places, you can ask them by saying, do you want to go to blah blah blah, then followed by the name of places. For example, apakah Anda akan pergi ke Inggris? Apakah Anda akan pergi ke Inggris? In English, do you want to go to England? To answer the question, if it is right that you will go to England, you can say, ya, saya akan ke sana. In English, yes, I will go there. Or, ya, saya akan ke Inggris. Or, yes, I want to go to England. But if it is wrong, you can say tidak, saya tidak akan ke sana. Or no, I will not go there. You can also say tidak, saya tidak akan pergi ke Inggris. Or no, I do not want to go to England. The name of the day in Indonesia is Senin or Monday, Selasa or Tuesday, Rabu or Wednesday, Kamis or Thursday, Jumat or Friday, Sabtu or Saturday, and Minggu or Sunday. Keep learning to remember and pronounce the names of the day. You also have to learn the use of words hari ini or today, besok or tomorrow, lusa or the day after tomorrow, kemarin or yesterday, minggu depan or next week, etc. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. See you next week with other interesting topics. Goodbye. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present Keisha Group. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Jika Cinta Dia by Keisha. Happy listening.
Kau sering kau buang air mataku, tak pernah kau tahu dalamnya rasa cintaku. Tak banyak inginku, jangan kau ulangi menyakiti aku sesuka kelakuanmu. Ku bukan manusia yang tidak berpikir, berulang kali kau lakukan itu padaku. Jika cinta dia, jujurlah padaku, tinggalkan aku di sini tanpa senyumanmu. Jika cinta dia, ku coba mengerti. Teramat sering kau membuat patah hatiku. Kau datang padanya, tak pernah ku tahu. Kau tinggalkan aku di saat ku butuhkanmu. Cinta tak begini selama ku tahu, tetapi ku lemah karena cintaku padamu. Jika cinta dia, jujurlah padaku, tinggalkan aku di sini tanpa senyumanmu. Jika cinta
There was the song entitled Jika Cinta Dia by Keisha Ben. The song tells about someone who is trying to let the beloved person go because the lover is loving someone else. The heartbreaking theme song became the band's leading song of Geisha at the beginning of the band's appearance in 2009. Geisha Band was formed in 2003. Then they released the song Jika Cinta Dia in 2009. Geisha, the band, came from Pekanbaru, Riau province, consisted of 5 people: Momo, vocalist; Robby, the guitarist; Nat, bassist; Dan, keyboardist; and Aan, the drummer. The band's name, according to its personnel, was taken from Geisha, a traditional entertainer artist in Japan. Therefore, the Geisha band wants to entertain the fans through their works. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Hapuskanlah Ingatanku. Happy listening.
Thank you.
Listener, that was the song Hapuskanlah Ingatanku by Geisha. Once again, Geisha carried the theme of heartache in the song Hapuskanlah Ingatanku. The lyrics are about the story of unfaithfulness. Geisha has released 4 albums and several singles. Almost all Geisha's work theme love story. However, the theme of love composed by Robbie, the guitarist, is not merely about romance. According to Momo, the vocalist, the theme of love presented by Geisha is universal love. So the love can tell us about the relationship of couple lovers or family. Perhaps the flexible and universal love theme made the listener are easy to like the works of Geisha band. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last 2 songs entitled Cinta Itu Kamu and Seandainya Aku Punya Sayap. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa. Goodbye for now.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Cari dunia. kejamnya dunia. Tiada lagi keadilan. Untuk apa ku di sini mencerit dan menangis pilu dan derita, merintih dan berdoa di
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Pilu
Terbang, terbanglah.
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.